Good morning, everyone. God bless you. Sunday service at Nations Harvest. I am happy to be here, and I pray God you are too. Hallelujah. I bless God today because He is God all by Himself. And what a wonderful day for you and I, us all together here today in His presence for this period of time of worship. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning to everyone, to all of you that have made it to this place by way of whatever streaming avenue that you've made it to. And I don't know, you may be listening to this 5 years from now, 10 years from now, but wherever you are in time and wherever you are geographically located, I want you to know that God is Lord and Lord is God. Hallelujah. This is a wonderful day in the month of March already. Hallelujah. And I bless God for that. Or is this April? My God, it's already April. Where has time gone? I'm blessed today and I'm excited that you are here. And I hope that as you're joining with us that you're ready to be inspired. I pray that as you join with us today that you are ready to be encouraged and know that the greatest encouragement that you could ever receive is the encouragement that you give yourself because God has certainly imparted that in us, and that is the creatures that we are in His creation, is that He who lives in us, hallelujah, give us the power to encourage ourselves and to overshadow ourselves and to rest hands upon ourselves for our healing and for our encouragement. Amen. I bless God today. And again, I'm glad that you're here. You ought to call somebody up right now and tell them to join in with us for this period of Sunday service. Amen. So as we make ready to now move to the interior of our worship and, you know, just have a word of prayer here experience the wonderful blessings of God today. You're here and you made it. My prayers are going out to all of those that have requested prayer over the course of the week. And I want you to know that not only is God a prayer hearing God, but He is a prayer answering God. Amen. And I certainly thank Him for that. Well, I'm excited about this that I'm going to share with you today. It's always wonderful in sharing. You know that I deal with the things that are certainly relevant to life because there are so many things that are just being done and said today that take away from life and kind of depletes us of all of the energy to even want to live. So it's always good to get a word that imparts life. And God bless you. So as I'm giving you a chance to get yourself together, get your scriptures ready, I'm just going to share with you today, and I have no specific place that I'm going to arrest in any particular book or chapter, but I'm going to speak from the full oracles of God in His word that is truth. That truth that you shall know, and that truth that makes you free. Amen. And if someone would just for a moment send me in, since I'm solo today, just send me in a text to kind of let me know that I'm actually coming through. I think for all everything should be, at least I know my wife will. She'll certainly send through here and let me know that everything is okay, or whoever gets to the text first and say, we're here loud and clear, and if we need to make some adjustments, then let me do that. And I'm going to go ahead and go into prayer right now. Eternal God, I thank you so much for all things, as everything you've made possible, and you made it possible through Jesus Christ, your Son, who is our Savior and our Redeemer who lives. We thank you so much, God, for giving us such a great salvation, for making us a plan and your plan for redemption to redeem all mankind back to you. Now, Lord, today we appreciate this. We show our gratitude and we give in thanksgiving by assembling ourselves together For as you have said, that the place is going to become less significant. And as in some place that is brick and mortar, some place that is given to the traditions of men. And you say that day cometh and is now, that they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And God, this is the method by which we assemble today. We call this the great gathering, the coming together. And we ask you to bless us, O Lord. Give us a word from heaven this morning that only heaven can give. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. All right. So let's see. I was still waiting for text from someone to see. Okay. Loud and clear. Levita, that's my niece. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. Thank you. Loud and clear. That's my green light. Now we are ready to move forward. That's all I wanted to hear back. Thank you, Lord God, for that testimony. Yeah, loud and clear. All right. So today I'm motivated and driven to bring us into the true reality of our Creator God, as we have gone over extensively for some long period of time since the beginning of fall last year about God's plan for redemption and how our establishment of institutions socially and racially and religiously have not always yielded to making available God's plan of redemption to all mankind. It is important to me now in this hour that we have some clarity. I mean clear, unobstructed consciousness and some unobstructed and clear sense of knowing exactly who God is to us and how we relate to him in our salvation that is given through Jesus Christ. There are things that is exclusively given to God, our Creator, that separates him from anything that may present itself as being a source of power. Because if I said up and I ask you the opposite of up, then of course you would say down. And if I said left, requested of you the opposite of left, then you would say right. If I said hot and ask you the opposite of hot, you would say to me clearly, emphatically, without any hesitation, that the opposite of hot is cold. And then if I ask you the opposite of right, as in correctness, then you would say that the opposite is wrong. If I ask you the opposite of God, then I'm inclined to believe that right now, at this hour, before you get what you're about to gather from me, as I share this with you, that if I ask you the opposite of God, then you more than likely, probably, not sure that you would, but there is this chance that you would say the opposite of God is the devil. Incorrect, totally wrong. Nothing about it is right because God has no opposite. There is no opposing existence to God. God has no opposite because there is nothing that is equal to God. When we take this very premise that have been presented to us and we take this as a truth that God has no opposite, then it is very easy for me to say that whatever I could dream of, whatever I could think of, whatever I could think about, anything that I delight in or desire in from God, it's already done. And I need you to just agree with me for a moment, because that's the presentation that I want to make to you today, is that whatever it is, it's like already done. That's very simple. It's not complex. And I know you've heard it, and it has the connotations of being cliche, because it's easy to say and just let it roll off the tongue, it's already done. But I need it to be today something that is more exclusively given to your relationship with God when I say to you, it's already done. It's already done. It is already done. When I think of Moses in the mountain when he had the experience with the burning bush, and I want to share it with you in this light. Please take this by way of an example now when I say that it's already done. We have Moses who have so been given by God to be birthed into life for the purpose of a God-given assignment. And we know, as we see historically, that that assignment was to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. So now, as I put that in reverse and playback, that means that when Jochebed gave birth to Moses and was under the oppression of the Egyptians, that every firstborn male Hebrew child was to be killed at birth. That means to me that it is not ironic or a coincidence that Jochebed, which is Moses' mother, took him and hid him on the Nile in some swaddling clothes and let him float along the Nile among the bulrushes or the weeds or the seaweeds or the river weeds. That's not a coincidence. That's divine. Now, it is not coincidental that Moses, by way of the spirit or the wind upon the water, ended up inside the Egyptian territory, whereby the Nile linked their water source in behind the enemy's camp, and this is where Moses settles. It's not coincident, it's divine. It is no coincidence that at that time, Pharaoh, the current Pharaoh, not the latter Pharaoh, but the past Pharaoh, sister took Moses from the Nile as a baby and raised him as an Egyptian. That's not a coincidence. That's divine. Now, fast forward 40 years, Moses spends in Egypt. It is no coincidence that one day, while Moses was attending to Hebrew slaves that were out doing the task of the day, saw an Egyptian smite a Hebrew, and immediately, instinctively, he came to the Hebrew's rescue, smote an Egyptian soldier, that means he killed him, and subjected himself to that of being, in our day and time, a white man killing another white man for doing something to a black woman. And so now he has to face this. As a result of him coming to the discovery, which is no coincidence, but it is divine, it is now that he is ejected from Egypt, spends 40 years in his father-in-law's house. He ends up in his Jethro, which is his father-in-law, ends up 40 years with his father-in-law. Now, it is no coincidence that 40 years later, the brother is 80 years old now, that he has this drive, this motivation, this inspiration to go out into the wilderness. And he goes out into the wilderness where he's about to spend 40 years, stay with me. And when I say it's already done, there was a bush that burned that was never consumed. Now, stay right there. Stop. Pause. Take a pause. Take a moment. Now, let's see. That bush, what year did it grow? And in what season did it take root? And let's see. Did it just like come up overnight? Or did it come at the point of the 40 years when Moses left Egypt, or the 40 years while he was in Jethro's house? Or had the bush been there since all eternity? Now, I'm going to ride with that last one that I said. I don't know which number it was, one, two, or three. But I'm going to go with this, that that bush was a part of the creation when God was working from day one to day six, which was before the first day of the week, which was the day that he rested. I'm going to go with, while he was creating everything else, he created that bush that burned but was never consumed. Stay with me. If the bush were already there and Moses passed it on a daily or maybe a weekly basis, or at least every 3 months or so, 40 years is a long time to be in the wilderness, by the way, that here is what happened. He never really gave attention to something that was already there. He was never moved by what already existed. He was never enlightened. He was never drawn by any way of his attention span to this bush that burned. But there was a day, and that's not a coincidence, but it is divine, that the bush that burned, which was burning since the creation, it is God who connects us with things that are always around us that we do not discover until God chooses to reveal to us what we are actually seeing. God, I'm not gonna preach this, I promise you, and I'm gonna try to really take my time, but it's gonna be short, sweet, and I promise you this is gonna be a slam dunk. There are so many things that exist around you right now that you have not connected with because God has not yet revealed to you the power and the association of what is around you and what it has to do with what God has assigned for your life. There are a lot of burning bushes that are around you right now. There are bushes burning all around me. But if you'll notice in the text and you go find that, you'll say that it doesn't say that. It says basically that he gives attention to something. It doesn't say that it just come up, but he gives attention. Now, how does he give attention to it? Because it's already done and it's now revealed in time. Remember this, you cannot evaluate eternity with time. Cannot be done. No way. It's impossible. It's totally impossible to calculate or gauge God, who is eternity, and do it with time. You cannot measure. You cannot calculate. You cannot gauge God with time because God is eternity. Time is antithetical and time is contradistinctive to eternity. I'm simply saying that eternity and time, simply put, they oppose one and the other. They're opposites. They're time and eternity. Time is an entity of itself, and eternity, and you hear it in it, the entity or eternal, it is exclusively given to itself. So now, if God is eternity, then, and God has no opposite, then that means eternally God has no past. Now, you got to remember that, because I'm going somewhere with this, and I'm almost there already. God has no past. And if God has no past, then that means that God has no future. God lives in an ever-present right now. Where is God? God is right now, because he has no future. And if he has no future, then that means he's right now. And if he has no past, that means that he is right now. No past, no future, right now. God lives ever present, eternity. You ought to clap your hands right there. Clap your hands, clap your hands, clap your hands. Why? Because God is eternity. God is eternity, having no past. God has no future. And I clap my hands because God is right now. God is in the moment. He is in the moment. So now, It's not that something has to really kind of come to pass. It means simply now that I live my life that is predicated upon God revealing something in eternity. Not time, because God has no time. Oh, yeah. So now the prophet told you somewhere along the way, because I had a prophet to speak to me. And I'm sure that the prophet will tell you that in so many days that you're going to get this blessing. That you are going to get a blessing in the next week. That you're going to, the prophet said that things are going to go your way in 7 days. Well, based on what I'm communicating to you right now, and I want you to carry with you for the rest of this existence, is this. Based on what I'm communicating over the next couple of minutes, the blessing that the prophet prophesied over your life is already here. Because in eternity, you cannot wait until next week, because there is no next week. There is only now, because God is already living 7 days from now. He will not come to life 7 days from now. God is already living 7 days from now, as he is 7 days ago. Oh, I'm feeling so preachy. You see, there is no time in God's existence that he isn't living all of it all at the same time. God is God all at the same time. You can't have some of God over here and some of God over there. And there is no place in existence that he isn't living all of who he is all at the same time. So you have to see that it is not correct for me to say 7 days I have to wait on something. The prophet said, they that wait on God shall renew their strength. Now, if you had been here, my servant Lazarus would not have died. So now he's been gone for some 3 days, and as a result of you delaying, he has died. Watch God, watch him move, watch him closely, and listen to me, because I'm about to show you something about God. But if you get a revelation, he has to give it to you, because I can't reveal anything. All I have is a little information that will inspire you in inspiration to get a revelation. I can't reveal anything, people, but if Lazarus is said to have been dead 3 days, Jesus corrected the very way that she was articulating the language, and he says, your brother is asleep. In other words, he can't be dead, because if he were dead, then that would be it, but he is just asleep. So now I'm going to put in time, eternity, and I'm simply going to call Lazarus back to right now. He says, rise. Lazarus is loosed by sleep, simply like a divine alarm clock. And that's no coincidence. That is divine. And he moves what happened 3 days ago kind of back to the very current time. If you're waiting 7 days, they that wait on God is not waiting in time. They are simply connecting themselves with God in the very presence until it has been revealed. Preach, Don. That does not hold up what God has already completed in his eternal existence, me waiting for 7 days. I don't wait for anything. No. Because God is now. You see, you are a creature of time. I am a creature of time. And God is a God of eternity. I am a creature of time. September 6, 1957, right? That's the day that you all gave me for a birthday. Because that's the only day that my mother can remember that I came into existence. And whatever it is that I could be waiting on does not stem from September 6, 1957, because all that I go forward to has already been done. Let me move a step farther. Are you ready? Stay with me now. You see, September 6, 1957, I'm going to set that there as a point of reference. That's my birthday. Now,
On September 6, 1957, now you say your birthday. Say yours. January 25th, 1976. Say yours. Go ahead. October 18th, 1953. Say your birthday, all right? You said yours. Now, I said mine, September 6, 1957. Now, on that day, God is omniscient. I didn't say he was. I say God is omniscient because he's always in the present. Now, on that day, God is omniscient. Now, on that day, you can't teach God anything. Why? Because he's already all-knowing. Omniscient means God knows everything, so you can't teach him anything. He always knows all things. So you can't surprise God since the day you were born with your behavior because he already knows everything. You didn't get up one day and God said, you just bad. No, he already knew if you were bad, you bad. You cannot surprise him with your behavior because he knew. Because he knows everything. Yes. Now, if omniscient means that God now knows everything and eternity means that he has ever existed, I want you to marry omniscient with eternal. Always here, no past, no future, and knows everything. If he always knew all things and he always existed, then there is no quote unquote time in existence that God did not know every up. There is no time in existence that God did not already know every down. He knew every disappointment. He knew every sickness. He knew every failure. He knew every pain. He knew every grief. He knew every lonely moment, every happy moment, every sad moment, every laughing moment, every excited moment. God knew the very moment of whatever emotion that you are experiencing. He knew it already before you experience it. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? Every moment that you and I would ever experience, God already knew at the moment. God did not choose God. You did not choose God when you were born. So I was born in 1957, and in 1966 I found the Lord. Newsflash, you didn't find God because God ain't ever been lost. So you ain't found the Lord. You may have found something, but it wasn't God. You may have found out that you didn't want to be on the mourner's bench. You may have found out that you didn't want to be at church, but you did not find God because you cannot even choose God. You're in time and he's in eternity. And you didn't choose him when you were born. It wasn't a matter of paternity testing that connected you with God. It will not come up 99.999% that you are his child. It will not come up as a matter of probate whereby you will be charged for the rest of your life for being taken care of by God because the baby is his. No, it doesn't happen that way. I'm going to the word. Let me work it like this. You did not choose God, but God chose you. Watch it. When did he do it? September 6, 1957, January the 25th, 1976, October the 18th, 1953. La. God chose us before the foundation of the world. Before your time started, eternity was already present. Preach, Don. You see, God didn't wait until you arrive to work out an agenda for your life. He did not wait to see if you were going to be good or if you were going to choose to be bad. So then what did God do? I'm glad you're asking. Then I'm going to be finished. What God instituted is called in his son grace. What do you mean, Don? I'm saying that grace says whatever God gives, it is never done because you deserve it. And he set that in eternity. So if you don't deserve it, then you can't bring God a record no matter how good you've been, you can't bring him your report card. He's not going to give you a tip. He's not going to leave a dollar under your pillow. He's not going to give you a new car. You're not going to be the winner of a sweepstakes. You're not going to win it in the lottery. You're going to get it simply because he is God, and he already knew before you started your record. Now, a record of how hard you've worked, God, you know I've been good. God, you know I've did this. God, you know I've done that. You cannot bring God a record of anything that you have done, preached, done. So for all of you today that think that you have that big, beautiful house, that you have that wonderful and marvelous car, that you have a little decent bank account, that you've done that because God has blessed you, then you take that record, report card, and whatever it is that you have presented up before heaven and all of its angels, because they don't want to see it, and I'm not interested in it either. I am here because all I had to show God was my weakness, and every time I show God my weakness, he shows me his grace. Oh, I feel like preaching now. All I've got to do is just come before a faithful God. That's what he is. He is a faithful God. Just bring who you are. You bring yourself the way that you are. It doesn't make any difference how terrible you are, because that's what he's looking for. He's looking for your weakness so that he can extend his grace. He's looking to give you grace, which means he's about to give you an unmerited favor. Go ahead and put it in the text. If you type and say, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve a house. I don't deserve a car. I don't deserve beautiful children. I don't deserve a place to sleep. I don't deserve a meal to eat. I don't deserve it. But when God looks at my weakness, all he does is provide me with his grace. And God, today I thank you. What God says is, what I'm going to do is I'm going to extend my grace, and it's going to cover your weakness. Oh, preach, Don. I'm going to cover your weakness with my grace, which means to me that God is the only one that I know who is faithful, because everyone else that I've ever come to know, the only time that they will ever do a thing for Don in his weakness is find a reason why they no longer have to do what it is that they propose to do over some period of time. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? Do you all remember telling you before that there is no way that you're going to love like God, because all of your love, no matter how many times you say it's unconditional, believe me when I tell you, for some reason, one or the other, maybe it's because it's your son, maybe it's because it's your daughter, your sister, your brother, not because you can get something back, but you're doing it because of what it means to you in a beneficial way. But you don't benefit God. God just does it because he's faithful. Shout in this chat room today, I don't count my blessings. I'm finished now. I'm coming home. I'm in the final stretch. I don't count my blessings based on the size of timing. I don't count my blessings based on the time that I've held a mic, declared a word that is a truth. I don't count on who is faithful around me based on some blood relationship, based on some place of some pedigree. I don't know about you, but when I pray, I don't go thanking God for a house. I don't thank God for a car. I used to thank God for those things, but when I seek the faithfulness of God, everything that I could ever want or ask for, it's already done. Preach, done. I treat everybody like they are an extension of God's hands to me. Let me say that one more time. I treat everybody like they are an extension of God's hands to Don. Yeah, because God is going to use somebody to do what he's about to do for me. God loves me through people. He brings people in my life who he uses to express his power through them for me. So now I want you now to try, even though you can't. Bye-bye, farewell. I'm going to see y'all next week. But I want you, I dare you. As a matter of fact, I implore you to try to count your blessings. You go ahead one by one, minute by minute. You try to count your blessings. You want to see something that is impossible. You cannot count your blessings because everything that God intended to do is already done. Hear me now. When I think about what happened for me on last week, it's already done. When I think about the healing that will overcome my body, it's already done. When I think about my financial astuteness, prosperity, and wealth, it's already done. Y'all don't hear me. It ain't been heard. It ain't been said the way that God will bless Don, because there is no mountain. There is no valley. Oh, shush, y'all. Y'all thought I forgot. I've been talking to you for the last 5 months, but I've got a preach in my body that says to me to tell you that whatever it is that you're waiting on, you ought to call somebody, you ought to text somebody, you ought to post it on every medium that there is, and say these words: it is already done. It's already done. That's why when I sing the song, I love it so much. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed going out, and I'm blessed coming in. I am the head already. I've never been the tail. I'm the front. And never running last. It's already done. I don't hear you typing. I say it's already done. Run to every room in your house and declare over everything that could go wrong. It's already done. My daughter left here going on a cruise for 7 long days, driving some 600 miles. I didn't have to pray and ask God to go with my daughter. I'll tell you why. Because before I could pray, he was already there waiting on her on the other end. Somebody say yes. Say yes. I'll see y'all next week. It's already done. It's already done. And I'll see you. And I'm through with it. And I'm finished. Bible's closed. Hymn book's done. And I'm done. It's already done. No opposite to God. And some stuff that we need to get clear. It sounds good, people. But it ain't the way that it always is. It's already done. It's already done. Put it in there. It's already done. Say it. Until you get some clarity about it, it's already done. You don't have to wait on it. Your healing, it's done. Yes, your happiness is done. You don't need somebody else. It's already done. It's already done. Encourage somebody. Say it to them today. It's already done. Say it to them today. It's already done. 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 It's already done.
but just remember.